On the coast of Long Beach, California, sits a 1,019-foot-long, 97-year-old ship. Once the epitome of luxury, her vast hallways, engine rooms, and dining parlors now echo with the creaks and bangs of history. And, if you listen to the stories, ghosts.
Join me. You may be able to help solve a mystery.
Welcome to You Solved a Mystery, a podcast where we delve into segments of unsolved mysteries that have been solved and reveal the final chapter.
Except, once again, for this week, because it's spooky season.
Spooky. And today, as a very special treat for me, Chandra is sharing a spooky story from the halls of the Unsolved Mysteries Vault.
What does that mean?
Today I will be telling you about a segment that originally aired October 26th, 1988, and you can find it now on YouTube as episode 4 of season 1.
I'm excited!
The story I have for you today is about the haunting of the RMS Queen Mary.
Yes.
But first, some history. The RMS Queen Mary was a British ocean liner built in Scotland at the start of the 30s by luxury cruise line Cunard. The ship was named for Mary of Teck, a.k.a. Duchess of York, a.k.a. Duchess of Cornwall, a.k.a. Princess of Wales, a.k.a. the Queen of the United Kingdom from 1910 to 1936.
Wow.
And reading about her family was actually kind of captivating. Like, I kind of get the obsession with the royal family currently, because it was like drama. The prince that she was first engaged to, Albert Victor, died during a flu epidemic in 1892, which is an excellent opportunity for some propaganda. Get your flu shots, it's the season.
Shot, 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 shot.
Eventually, she married Albert Victor's brother, George, and when he died, she couldn't just be the big boss in charge for some reason. Can't imagine why. I don't understand or care much for monarchies, but their son, Edward VIII, became king. The same year, though, Edward abdicated the throne for love.
What?
Her name was Wallace, which is a fantastic name.
Yeah.
And the marriage was scandalous as heck, because she had been divorced twice.
Oh.
Twice, Athena. His family was super mean to her, but the pair of them were together until the very end. So.
Oh,
suck it, Grandma Queen. When completed, the Queen Mary weighed in at 80,774 tons, the ship, not the monarch, and the river in which she was built had to be widened to get her out. She made her maiden voyage across the sea on May 27th, 1936, and that same year, she won the Blue Riband, an unofficial award given to the ship with the highest average speed to date. Her top average speed was 31.64 knots, which is 36.41 miles per hour, and I'm realizing without any contrast, that doesn't really mean anything, but she was fast. The Queen Mary was all luxury. On board, there were beauty salons, libraries, lecture halls, tennis courts, and not one, but two indoor swimming pools. It also had the first Jewish prayer room ever installed on a cruise liner, an attempt to demonstrate that the British did not agree with the anti-Semitism brewing in Nazi Germany. The Queen Mary's website calls these the glamour years. Basically, it was the place to be if you needed to get between New York and London. Elizabeth Taylor was frequently traveling aboard the liner with her two poodles. The ship also hosted the likes of Bob Hope, Fred Astaire, and Audrey Hepburn, the Duke and Duchess of Windsor, as Edward VIII and Wallace were known after abdication, would often travel on the Queen Mary and always booked the same room, which is now called the Windsor Suite, and would refer to it as their ship.
Well, that's a big gauche. I don't know about that.
As long as they weren't stuck up about it, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, sure.
In 1939, the Queen Mary found herself stuck in New York as, during their passage, France and Britain had declared war on Germany after the invasion of Poland. She sat there with the two other largest ocean liners in the world for about a year before the Allies decided to convert them into troop ships. The Queen Mary got a big overhaul and began carrying as many as 15,000 troops at a time, traveling in a zigzag pattern to avoid U-boats.
I remember that being mentioned in the tour we took at the Queen Mary, the zigzag pattern, and how it was relevant to spooky, but also, like, really tragic things.
As a troop ship, her speed and new paint job earned her the moniker the Grey Ghost. She was enough of a power horse that Winston Churchill was a passenger multiple times throughout the war. After the Nazis got their faces punched, the Queen Mary was returned to her former glory and resumed her crossings as an ocean liner. But in 1958, the first transatlantic airplane flight crushed the ocean liner industry. I mean, it wasn't an immediate crushing, but it was the end. Around 1967, the entire Cunard fleet was auctioned off. Long Beach, California won the bid for the Queen Mary against Japanese scrap merchants.
Ooh.
In the end, the Queen Mary made 1,000 crossings.
Wow.
So if you're not, like, interested in history and old things and whatnot, then it might be kind of like, cool story, bro. But in that time, she carried an estimated 2,112,000 passengers. And that's a lot of opportunities for individuals to leave an impression, earning the Queen Mary recognition as one of the most haunted places in the world.
Wow.
According to Unsolved Mysteries at the time of airing the episode, there had been 49 recorded deaths on the Queen Mary. The majority of death records available from the archives indicate natural causes, but one of the most commonly reported ghosts seen on the ship is John Petter. In 1966, during a routine safety drill, the 18-year-old laborer/fireman was killed by a mechanical watertight door in the engine room. In 1988, reporter for the LA Times Terry Spencer spoke with the ship's archivist, Bill Winberg, who reported that John had tried to get under the door as it was lowering itself automatically.
That was one of the things on the tour that we took that really stuck with me because it's so horrifying.
Yeah, I tried not to get into the glorifying of the creepiness. I found a blog called The Captain's Table that claims that according to the ship's log, John was found by another member of the crew with his body turning blue due to lack of oxygen.
I don't like that at all.
The Night Sister, which I assume is the name of a witch who's also a nurse, couldn't tell if John was still alive, so she gave him morphine.
Wait, he was crushed, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't instantly crushed. It was more like suffocation, which is just awful.
That's even worse. Even worse. Ugh.
At the ship's hospital, they declared him dead. And I have to wonder if he's hanging around to make sure future safety drills don't rack up any death toll. I found an interview with John Petter's sister, Pauline Howard, where she shared her perspective on the sensationalization of her brother's death with The Telegraph and Argus in 2000. This isn't ancient history. She said, quote, "We want them to stop. It's disgusting. They're bringing up the past and it's very painful for us. We have to live with this every day of our lives. You don't get over things like that. My sister is also deeply distressed. John was a human being, but they're treating him like a peep show. We're very angry." And that really stuck with me and influenced the way that I want to talk about actual people who have become a part of legends.
Yeah, I mean, we're both really interested in the supernatural, but it's just, I wish people wouldn't forget that when they're talking about ghosts, they're talking about humans who had family and loved ones and treated it with more respect than I think some of the big names in supernatural media do.
Yeah. It's important to remember that some legends are based on true things that actually were painful for people.
Definitely.
Not to be a major bummer. I just had a hard time with some of my research for this episode, with people making claims that really aggrandized themselves instead of focusing on the real people in this story. The people who made this story. So anyway, right after the episode of Unsolved Mysteries introduced John Petter, they spoke to a former Queen Mary employee, Nancy Ann, who shared the story of closing down the tour route one night. As she was riding an escalator in the reenactment, she turned and saw a man in dirty overalls right behind her. When she stepped aside to let him pass, he vanished. But to be honest, all I could think was, why would John be on the escalator?
She thought it was John.
That was the implication of the episode, but I saw some different representations of what John or people working in the engine room would have been wearing. Sometimes it was like blue coveralls, sometimes it was white. So I don't know if you can really lock down who's who in all of these ghost sightings, but another employee named Kathy Lobb told Unsolved Mysteries about a run-in with another of the favorite ghosts of the ship. When the Queen Mary became a hotel, the pool areas weren't up to modern safety code, so they couldn't be used. But guests could view the first-class pool, which continued to hold water until the late 80s. The pool areas are known to be a couple of the spookiest areas on the ship simply due to a lack of upkeep. Their dilapidated, abandoned atmosphere inspires a sense of mystery and unease. Mm-hmm. One night, when Lob was in the pool area, she and her co-workers heard giggling, splashing in the water, and then wet footprints appeared on the path heading to the locker room. But there was no child to be seen. The writer of the blog The Captain's Table tells the story of their experience on the Haunted Encounters tour aboard the Queen Mary. They and their mother were standing by the first-class pool when each felt a tug at the bottom of their jackets as if a child was trying to get their attention. There were no children there. 4 or 5 years later, the author returned for the Paranormal Spirit Walk tour, and again by the pool saw a, quote, "black shadow mass pop out from behind a pillar." They said it seemed to be looking at them, but when they got closer, it was gone. There was no sign of anyone or anything having been there. The author even claims that these black shadow masses have walked through them in the pool changing rooms. Mm-hmm. Nancy Ann, who had the experience with allegedly John Petter, also told Unsolved Mysteries about seeing an elderly woman standing by the pool, but when she went around a post to approach her, she was gone. And that reenactment was successfully spooky, the way the old woman is standing still with her knees bent in an old-fashioned swimming suit as if she's about to jump. And then she just vanishes. There are folks who have named the pool girl and share the story of her drowning as if it's fact, when there isn't actually any evidence, which, to be honest, was really irritating to me. Neither the author of the Captain's Table nor myself were able to find any documentation of drownings on the Queen Mary at all, or a little girl passing away near the pool. However, signs posted on the ship's tour route include two crew members and two passengers who were lost overboard. So perhaps they decided to hang around the luxury liner in the room that most embodied their watery deaths. The signs also include two infant deaths on board, with causes listed as, quote, newborn, seriously ill. Both of these babies were listed as boys, though. It sounds and feels and probably is insensitive to say, but my favorite ghost with origins documented in the ship's log is that of Senior Second Officer W.E. Stark, whose death in 1949 was ruled a misadventure.
Oh, yes! More misadventures!
But not death. Factually, Stark thought he was drinking gin, but it turned out to be carbon tetrachloride, a chemical commonly used for cleaning. The story is that he was waiting to have drinks with the captain and other officers and decided to get a head start. But in a dimly lit room, a steward had accidentally handed him an old gin bottle that contained the cleaner. When the mistake was uncovered, Stark was told to get his stomach pumped immediately, but he didn't think it was a big deal. There are even claims that he joked about it.
Oh, wow.
But 3 days later, he succumbed to the poisoning.
Wow. That is completely different, actually, than the story I thought it was.
What did you think?
I think what I've heard before was that the captain had told him to have a celebratory drink because he'd done something well. And so he went and he picked up the captain's alcohol bottle and took a big swig, and it wound up not containing actual alcohol. It was the wrong bottle. And in the story that I have heard, it's like he died pretty much instantly. So that's completely different than what I thought that story was. And more realistic.
Yeah, he lasted a while. He was taken to the hospital, but I think by the time anyone was able to convince him of the seriousness, it was already too late.
Hey, if someone tells you that you just drank poison, maybe take it seriously.
Go to the hospital.
Or drink a lot of tea. That's what some of the poison bottles in the basement of LACC chemistry building said to do. So, moving on anyway.
Since Stark's death, there have been reports of a man in an officer's uniform appearing in the captain's quarters, and choking and gasping have been heard echoing through the hospital area, assumed to be the sounds of Stark's demise.
My heart hurts for him.
But I prefer the version where Stark returned to roam the halls of the Queen Mary in search of the real bottle of gin.
I love that! Yes! I'm gonna get that drink, motherfucker!
Where's my gin? And also, if you're wondering, like, how the heck can someone confuse gin and carbon tetrachloride, they were having gin and lemon. So apparently, if you add lemon to gin, that's what carbon tetrachloride tastes like.
Okay, I don't know what carbon tetrachloride is or what it does, but I'm going to keep that in mind.
If you're ever drinking gin and it's not supposed to be flavored like Lemon, recheck your bottle? This is not a fact, by the way. This is just a joke I'm making, so don't take this as any kind of medical advice.
Okay. All right.
So, I'm sure you've seen it, but I thought it would be fun to mention BuzzFeed Unsolved's episode on the Queen Mary, since you like them so much. Mm-hmm. Host Ryan Bergara didn't believe in the supernatural when he first stayed on the Queen Mary at 17 years old.
Is that right?
Yep.
That's actually the moment that convinced him. I knew it was the first moment that he had a supernatural encounter.
He was not a believer.
Oh, wow.
He went on a ghost hunt and taunted ghosts to show themselves by calling them names with no luck.
He was a Shane.
No luck until he went back to his cabin to sleep. As he laid in his bed, he felt someone poke him hard in the face. The poking continued again and again, but when he got up the courage to open his eyes, he saw the friend he was sharing the room with was fast asleep. The next morning, the bathroom sink turned on its own, and while they were filming, a plastic bag holding toothpaste appeared to move and fall off the bathroom counter without anyone touching it. By the time he left the Queen Mary, Ryan was a believer.
All the times I watched it all the way through so many times, and I didn't realize it was his origin story.
10 years later, he revisits the ship with co-host Shane
Madej.
Ryan is clearly terrified the whole time, as he tells the story of a cook who was supposedly shoved in the oven by soldiers who didn't like his food. A loud bang came from the direction of the kitchen. He also very apprehensively asked for any ghosts at door 13, where John Petter died, to make their presence known by making a noise. And moments later, there was a loud bang in response. Ryan and Shane also spent the night in reportedly the most haunted room on the ship, room B340. This room has had so many reports about paranormal activity that they closed it off.
Mm.
Reportedly, people were leaving in the middle of the night. As the pair are laying in their sleeping bags, they hear strange chattering noises, which Shane, of course, writes off as animals fighting outside.
But they're on a boat. I'm sorry, I'm a Shaniac, but they're on a boat.
He says they're fighting cats.
He on says a boat?
He says there are cats fighting outside somewhere. I don't know. It's moored near the shore. One legend of room B340 is that the room was the location of a murder. A husband murdered his wife, or it was a random act of violence, or in one story, the passenger who committed the murder was captured and locked up in a room that would eventually become part of B340. After some time in this passenger's makeshift prison cell, he began screaming in panic. The guard ignored him, but when they checked on him the next day, he had been ripped apart.
Whoa. That's a scary story.
Since the murder, guests have described the sounds of footsteps, strange rattling and knocking, and even the covers being ripped off of them while they were sleeping. Julie Tremaine wrote about her experience in B430 for Sci-Fi's website. She visited the ship with a ghost tour company and was present for two different attempts to contact the ghosts occupying the room. During an electronic voice phenomena session, or EVP, a ghost refusing to name himself called the group a hassle. Later, the other guests departed, leaving Julie in the room alone. As she laid under the covers, unable to sleep a wink, Julie heard whispers coming from right outside the door. But as she approached to investigate who was there, the voice went screaming down the hall.
Mm.
This incident repeated itself twice more during the night, and by morning, Julie was jumping at every little sound.
I'm just thinking a prank to play in a hotel. Go up against someone's door and go, and then when they come to the door, start screaming and running down the hallway.
I wouldn't leave my bed. I would be frozen like a statue Fair. On my bed with my covers around me.
Yeah. That's
just trying
smart.
To build the courage to scream, really.
That's the smart move, honestly.
Latina! Latina!
Wait, what is the haunted room again? It's B.
B430.
Let's go stay in B430. Yeah?
And they closed it.
Wait. The Boo Boys stayed there, right?
Who's that?
That's Ryan and Shane.
Oh. Okay, to be clear, at one point it was closed, and then it was reopened. And then I think it was closed again, and it was possibly reopened. But I don't actually know what the current state of B430 is.
If we ever have the opportunity, we're going.
I would sure love to stay on the Queen Mary again, but I don't know about that.
Let's do a ghost tour. Let's go to Chet's Melody Lounge in Chicago. Check out Resurrection Cemetery, Queen Mary, B430. Yes. Let's do it.
I might be convincible. After departing the Queen Mary, Julie went back through her video and audio recording from that night. When she looked at the structured light sensor footage, which can detect thermal temperature and light frequency, she saw a figure looming next to where she was huddled in the bed. And in the audio, she heard that same voice from the EVP session. Once again, he spoke, "Hassel." But this time it was clearer because it was coming from right beside her. Of course, there is no evidence that there was ever a murder aboard the Queen Mary. Some say it was all a rumor started by Disney when they briefly leased the ship.
So this would be the cook that was supposedly cooked in the oven?
What about him?
Calling them a hassle?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. There's no evidence that ever happened either. So there's no evidence of a murder. But maybe the haunting of room B340 is the result of a tulpa, a being or phenomenon brought into existence because people believe in it. Maybe the haunting was manifested by all the people who stayed in that room and believed. By far, the most chilling story of the Queen Mary is its collision with the HMS Kurosawa.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah, it's rough.
In 1942, the Kurosawa was escorting the Queen Mary as she carried 10,000 American soldiers to the River Clyde in Scotland. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the first time the ships sailed together. The plan was for the Queen Mary to join the Kurosawa off the coast of Ireland and ultimately overtake her as she continued on her course, with the Kurosawa staying close as long as possible. The Queen Mary could reach over 32 miles per hour and carried on in her classic zigzagging pattern to evade U-boats with orders not to stop under any circumstances. The Kurosawa kept a straight course next to the Queen Mary to maximize her anti-aircraft abilities. The Queen Mary began to overtake the Kurosawa, and the senior first officer felt that their zigzags were coming too close. But the captain of the Queen Mary believed the experienced escort would evade their path and ordered the zigzagging to continue. At the same time,
the Kurosawa's captain was convinced the Queen Mary would steer clear of their path, since the straight line was necessary to maximize their defense. It came to a point where the ships were only about 400 yards apart. As the Queen Mary's first senior officer returned from a break, he gave the order, "Port a little," to put more space between them. As the realization dawned that neither ship was giving way, two more orders were given. Aboard the Kurosawa, starboard 15 degrees, and on the Queen Mary, hard a port, but it was too late. In under a minute, the Queen Mary sliced through the Kurosawa, cutting her in two with such ease that troops below deck didn't even feel the collision. The Queen Mary followed orders not to stop for any reason, but called for assistance. The nearest ships were 8 miles away, and the fastest they could arrive was within 2 hours. Of a crew of 430, 99 men were pulled out of the water. Marine engineer John Smith told Unsolved Mysteries about how several times over 2 months on the Queen Mary, he heard the sounds of a collision. Raking metal, rushing water, screaming. He said, "It sounded like there'd been a rupture of the ship's hull. It was frightful. I went up to the extreme bow section of the ship. The sound was here, but there was no water, nothing to cause it. I don't believe in supernatural things, but in all my experience as a marine engineer, I've never seen anything like this." Well, not every ship had encountered a tragedy on the level of the Kurosawa.
That was the other one that really stuck with me because of the idea of knowing that those people were your allies and your friends and having to just leave them.
There are a lot of what ifs you can go into with that event, but no matter what, it remains a tragedy.
Yeah.
We got to stay on the Queen Mary with our mom in 2007. Being on the ship was like stepping back in time. It really felt like vintage luxury. We did the haunted tour and heard the groans and bangs of the old ship as we stood in derelict hallways, engine rooms, the pool area. You can feel the years of life that have been lived aboard her. And it can feel spooky as heck.
Oh, yeah.
I was curious what it would cost these days to stay in the hotel, but the Queen Mary has been closed since the start of the pandemic. The website mentioned renovations in multiple pages, but then also, as I was researching this, the website stopped working. In 2019, the Queen Mary came close to being condemned after renters failed to meet the upkeep end of their contract. Edward Prebonik, the engineer who inspected her for the city, wrote, quote, "Last month, I stated that the ship has never been in worse condition. That statement is surpassed by the condition found this month, which is even worse, as new failures and additional neglected areas are added to the list."
Oh no.
Without an immediate and very significant infusion of manpower and money, the condition of the ship will likely soon be unsalvageable.
Oh!
The city of Long Beach basically said pish-posh, but the renter and city both began to carry out extensive repair projects, with the city ultimately taking control this year. So maybe the Queen Mary will really become a ghost ship. The Gray Ghost.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Chandra, for telling us this story. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you to Raven, who we haven't thanked in too long, for writing our intro music. And also trying to help us improve our sound quality, which we still can't seem to figure out. So, she doesn't know it yet, but
when she comes to visit us, she's going to be showing us some tutorials.
You can follow us on Instagram at You Solved a Mystery. You can leave a rating, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. That would just warm our hearts.
If you leave a review, Athena will turn it into a poem. She's really very clever, and I would love to see it happen. So do the thing for me, please.
You can also email us at yousolvedamystery@gmail.com. And if you're listening to this and you're a big fan of unsolved mysteries, and there's a case you'd really like for us to cover, please send it to us. We would love to do that. Ideally, it would be one that you know is solved, but if not, if you're just really passionate about an unsolved mysteries case and want more, contact us. As always, I'm Athena.
Did we forget to say our names?
Yes.
I'm Chandra. This whole time I've been Chandra. But you didn't know, listener, because I didn't tell you my name.
I'm pretty sure I said your name. But that's fine.
Athena told you my name, but who told you Athena's name until just now? You didn't even know she was a person.
I've been a person this whole time!
I mean, anybody who can't tell our voices apart may very well have thought that I was just an individual person named Chandra talking to myself this whole time. Anywho,
join the two of us next time for You Solved a Mystery.
Good night.